Good morning and welcome to this service of worship here at Latrobe United Presbyterian Church. I'm John Simpson, the interim pastor here. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday morning at 11 o'clock a.m. here in the sanctuary of the church. Now let us worship God together. It's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to his name. Come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. For the Lord is good. The Lord is good, and his steadfast love endures forever. Now let us join together and share in this hymn that was sung recently here at Latrobe United Presbyterian Church. Let us pray together. Almighty God, Lord of creation, we've been so absorbed in the worries and the busyness of the week that we have not felt the beauty and the mystery of your world. We have not been grateful for the loveliness of a child's face, nor have we responded to the flow of beauty in an autumn day. We have been warmed by the sun and upheld by your love without pausing to give you thanks. And we have often dealt with others without reflecting your love. Forgive us, Lord, for all that has been complacent and unkind in our lives. And let the Spirit of Christ invade us anew as we worship here together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The first scripture lesson is taken from the 25th chapter of Matthew, beginning to read here at the at the 14th verse. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants together and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another he gave 2 talents, and to another he gave 1 talent, each according to their ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one who had 2 talents gained 2 more. But the one who had received 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned to settle up accounts with them. The man who had received 5 talents brought the other 5 that he had earned. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 talents, and so I have gained 5 more. The master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in my happiness." The man with 2 talents also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. The master replied, "Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in my happiness." Then the man who had received 1 talent came. "Master," he said, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you did not sow and gathering where you did not sow seed. And so I was afraid, and I went out and I hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." The master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bank, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. He ordered. "For everyone who has been given more, to him will be given in abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw this worthless servant outside into darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Amen. Now let us share together in this hymn that was sung recently here at Latrobe United Presbyterian Church.
Thank you.
The second scripture lesson is taken from Luke's gospel. It is a similar parable that Jesus told, but it does have important differences in it. As I read this parable, please try to see if you can figure out what are the differences between these very similar parables that Jesus told. One account is given by Matthew and the other account is given by Luke. I also should tell you that in this parable, it talks about minas. That's spelled M-I-N-A-S. And simply put, a mina is a measure of currency. It's an amount of currency. It would be like a dollar today, or $10, or whatever. It was a measure of currency which the master was investing in his service. So having said that, let us listen for God speaking to us together through this parable of Jesus. While they were listening to him, he went on to tell them a parable because he was near Jerusalem and people thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once. He said, "A man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then to return. And so he called together 10 of his servants and he gave them 10 minas. Put this money to work, he said, until I come back. But his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, 'We don't want him to be our king.' He was made king, however, and returned home. Then he sent for the servants to whom he had given the money in order to find out what they had gained with it. The first servant came and said, 'Sir, your mina has earned 10 more.' 'Well done. Well done, my good servant,' the master replied. 'Because you have been trustworthy with very small things, take charge of 10 cities.' The second came and said, 'Sir, your mina has earned 5 more.' The master answered, 'You go and take charge of 5 cities.' Then another servant came and said, 'Sir, here is your mina. I've kept it laid away in a piece of cloth. I was afraid of you because you are a hard man. You take out what you did not put in and you reap what you did not sow.' The master replied, 'I will judge you by your own words, you wicked servant. You knew, did you, that I was a hard man, taking out where I did not put in and reaping where I did not sow? Why then didn't you put my money on deposit so that when I came back, you could have collected it with interest?' Then he said to those standing by, 'Take his mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10 mina.' 'Sir,' they said, 'he already has 10. But the master replied, 'I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given, but to the one who has nothing, even what he has will be taken away.' Amen." Well done. Well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Because you have been faithful in small things, I will entrust you with even greater things. Well done. Well done. There are few words that are more pleasant to the human ear there are few words that are more positive to the building of human relationships, and there are few words that are more nourishing to the human spirit than these two words. Well done. Oh, well done. From the time that we color that first picture and give it to our mother, until we successfully learn how to cross the room with our new walker in a nursing home, from our earliest childhood days until our final fleeting moments, few words are more important for us to hear than those two words, well done, well done. Think back across your life. Remember the significant people who have crossed your path. Who are the people who have spoken those words to you most often? And how did it feel? How did it feel to have those words addressed to you? Well done. That was well done. Maybe that's not their exact words, you know. Maybe they said great job, or maybe they said, wow, that was wonderful, or maybe they said that's terrific, or you are exceptional. Maybe they didn't use the exact words, but they stirred those same positive emotions in you. They felt the same as if they had said to you, oh, well done. Well done. Can you recall an incident? Can you recall an incident? Can you remember a particular moment? Can you remember a particular moment when those words made all of the difference in the world to you? Well done. Well done. Was it a parent or a spouse? Was it a teacher or was it a neighbor? Was it a pastor or a Sunday school teacher or a youth leader? Was it a college professor or a boss or a supervisor? Or was it a son or a daughter? Was it a customer or a competitor? Was it a coach or a friend? Remember that time. Remember that moment when you heard those words spoken to you and they meant so very much to you. Remember. Well done. Oh, that was well done. Can you remember? Can you recall? Well done. Very, very well done. How did it feel? How did that feel? What did you experience? What emotions bubbled up inside of you? Now multiply that feeling. Multiply that feeling by 100. Multiply that feeling by 10,000. Multiply that feeling by 1,000,000. And if you can imagine that, that's what it will feel like. That's what it will feel like on that day when you are born into heaven. Multiply that feeling over and over and over and over again, and you will have some clue as to what it will be like on that day when you meet Jesus face to face and you hear him say to you, well done. Well done, very well done. You have been a good and faithful servant. Let's just stop here for a minute and take a closer look at this parable. the one from Luke's Gospel. At first hearing, it sounds very familiar. Actually, the one that we hear more often in church is the one from Matthew 25. Most often, you'll hear that passage from Matthew 25 on Stewardship Sunday, when we're talking about stewardship and how we care for our talents, our abilities, our money. But these two parables are different in their details. Did you notice how different they were in details? In the Matthew account, there are only three servants mentioned. And each one of them is invested in, or each one of them is given a different amount by the master according to the talents that he perceived in them. Three servants mentioned and invested in according to the talents that they had. In Luke's account, however, in Luke's parable, there are 10 servants. 10 servants mentioned, and each one of them is given the same amount, the same coin. Each one of them is invested in to the same degree. There is no regard for talent or ability. No, each one of them is invested in the same, all 10 of them. But here's an interesting thing. If you read this parable carefully, you will see that only 3 of the 10 were ever called in to give account. I have no clue whatever happened to the other 7. Read the parable again for yourself. And if you can figure out what happened to the other 7, let me know. We are never told how those other missing 7 fared in their use of the money that was entrusted to them. But this is pretty much where the differences end in these two parables. What is important about both of these parables, although they are different in detail, what is important about both of these parables is that they were told by Jesus to teach the very same lesson. The lesson is clearly stated by Jesus in approximately, in kind of these words. Jesus said, "This is to teach you that those who use well what they have been given, to them even more will be given. To those who use well what they have been given, even more will be given. But to those who do not use well what they have been given, those who do not use well what they have been given, even that will be taken away from them." It is, says the biblical scholar William Barclay, it is an unstoppable law of life. Those who use well what has been given to them will be given even more, but to those who do not use what has been given to them, even what they have will be taken from them. A basic, unstoppable law of life. Here's an example from the world of physical fitness. When all of us were young, we were in pretty good shape. We could run and play tag for hours. We could ride our bikes for miles. We could play ball and jump rope until the sun went down. That is as children. We're given wonderful, healthy, strong, finely tuned, energetic, cardiovascular muscle machines. But then we begin to what they call grow up. We begin to grow up. They send us off to school, and there we pretty much sit around. And this wonderful fit body is hardly used between 9 in the morning and 3 in the afternoon. Oh, we still run and play in the evenings, and we still run and play on the weekends, and we still run and play in the summertime. But as we continue to grow up, we went off to college. And there we pretty much studied, and we sat around most of our waking hours. We got up in the morning, we went to class, we ate lunch, we went back to class in the afternoon, we ate dinner, and we went to the library and studied till late at night. Most of the exercise that we got in those days was exercise to our arms. Coffee to keep us awake so that we could study. Pop in order to wash down the greasy hamburgers that we were eating. And beer to give us the illusion that we were having a good time. Remember, those who do not use the fitness that they have been given will lose it. Then after college, we get a job. Maybe we get married. Maybe we have children. And keeping that fitness that we have been given becomes a very low priority. The fat begins to collect from the burgers in unsightly places. Our lungs lose their elasticity that they had from jumping rope and at every recess. And we find that our heart rate, when we walk up a flight of steps, beats at about the same rate as it used to beat after we had played a half hour of basketball. We tire easier, soon we sit more, and we doze off when we don't want to. Now we watch others play. Now we watch others play basketball and football. We watch them run and jump and play like we once did, with such ease and with such joy. And then we remember that basic law of life. Those who use what they have been given, to them will be given even more. But those who do not use what they have been given will have even what they have been given taken away. What is true of our physical bodies is true of our talents and abilities as well. What is true of our physical bodies is true of our talents and our abilities as well. Have you ever noticed that God has created each of us with distinct talents and distinct abilities? Some people are created with wonderful mathematic minds, while others struggle to do basic math. Some take a car apart and put it back together so that it runs like new, while others have a difficulty changing the oil. Others can cook a wonderful meal every day, while some of us have trouble making a grilled cheese sandwich. God gave each of us talents. God gave each of us abilities so that we can survive, so that we can live, so that we can serve others, and so that we can serve Him with these talents and abilities. If we use these talents and abilities, they will grow and grow and grow so that we are able to enjoy them more and so that we can serve others and God more and more and more. But if we do not use them, if they lay dormant for long, many or most will disappear. And the Master will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant, because you used what I have given you, I will entrust to you even more." What is true of our bodies and what is true of our talents is true of our relationships, is true of our relationships as well. We've been given relationships. And if we invest ourselves in our relationships, that is to say, if we spend time with the other person, if we talk with the other person, if we listen to the other person, if we share meals with the other person, if we share ourselves with them, and they share themselves with us, if our conversations with each other is deep and intimate and personal, if we think of them often, and if they think of us often and look forward to being together, that relationship will grow and become a huge important part of our lives. But if we don't, if we do not, that other person will remain a passing friend, a mere acquaintance that we know about, but someone that we do not know. There will be a passing acquaintance that we know about, but that we do not know. What is true of our bodies, what is true of our talents and abilities, is true of our relationships as well. Our personal human relationships and our relationship with God. We have been given, through Jesus Christ, an opportunity, a wonderful opportunity. We have been given an opportunity to live in relationship with God. It is the coin that we have been given. And if we invest our time, if we invest our lives, if we invest our intellect and our hearts in building that relationship with Jesus Christ, it will become more and more and more and more important to us. And it will become more and more and more and more meaningful to us. But if we do not, if he remains an acquaintance that we've heard about in Sunday school, if he remains an acquaintance that we maybe heard about as we read the Bible occasionally or seldom, that relationship will become less and less important to us. While many of us, while there are many things that we could and should invest in, we could and should invest in our bodies, we could and should invest in our talents, we could and should invest in our relationships, there is only one thing that we can invest in. There is only one thing that we can invest in that has lasting and eternal value, and that is our relationship with Jesus Christ. And if we do not invest in that relationship, it will become meaningless to us. But if we do, it will become a relationship that sees us through life's ups and life's downs, and that sees us into and beyond eternity. Jesus said, if you invest in that, there is much to be gained. And if you do not, we will be like that third servant who ended up with nothing. Even what we have will be taken from us. I did a little calculating, and each day has 1,440 minutes in it. 24 hours times 60 minutes, 1,440. How many of those minutes, how many of those minutes each day do you invest in your relationship with Jesus Christ? In prayer, in the study of Scripture, and in getting to know, not about him, but getting to know him. Let us pray together. Lord, we pray, Lord, that one day when this life is over and we meet you face to face, we will know you and you will know us. And we will hear those words that we so long to hear. Well done. Well done. You have been a good and faithful servant. Come and share this place of happiness with me. We pray this, Lord. We ask it. Amen. Now let us share in this closing hymn that was sung recently here at Latrobe United Presbyterian Church. Thank you. Now let us go into the world in peace. And may the blessings of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. Amen.